All right, let's dive into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 25 through 30. And Father, we look to you to speak into our hearts a timely word today. And Lord, we pray, God, that we will have ears to hear, that nothing will distract our minds and our hearts from hearing this word you have for us today. Thank you for inviting us to be here today to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. John 5, looking at verses 25 to 30, the title of this message is, Like Father, Like Son. Like Father, Like Son. This is part 3 of this particular message. Now, in this chapter, Jesus has been making some incredible claims of being equal with God the Father. He said in verse 17, My Father has been working until now, and I have been working. He said in verse 19, Whatever the Father does, the Son also does in like manner. He said in verse 21, The Father raises the dead and gives life to them. Even so, the Son gives life to whom he will. Finally, we saw last week in verse 23, Jesus said that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. And so like Father, like Son. Now we pick up the conversation in verse 25. Look what he says there. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Now, once again, we see Jesus uses the phrase, most assuredly, I say to you, to introduce an important truth like he did in verses 19 and verse 24. The key to understanding this verse is in the phrase, the hour is coming and now is. This paradoxical statement gives us some powerful truth. And this is referring to our resurrection as believers. Now, one is present and the other is futuristic. And there is a present resurrection we experience when the Lord saved us. We find this in Ephesians 2 verse 1. It says, And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. And then a few verses down in Ephesians 2 verse 5, it says, Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. So before we surrendered our lives to Jesus Christ, we were spiritually dead, and Jesus had to resurrect us. However, there is a future resurrection of our physical bodies as well. Philippians 3 verse 20 says, Who will transform our lowly bodies that it may be conformed or fashioned like his glorious body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 35 to 54 says the same thing about the future resurrection of our physical bodies. And so this is what this phrase means. The hour is coming and now is. In other words, the hour is coming of our future resurrection of our bodies and now is, meaning we have already as believers experienced a spiritual resurrection when Jesus raised us from our spiritual trespasses and sins. Look at the second part of verse 25. I want to draw your attention to this phrase. Hear the voice of the Son of God. We were told in verse 24, the way we escape judgment and inherit everlasting life is by hearing the words of Jesus. Now, here in verse 25, Jesus says, When you hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Let me ask you this. Do you have ears to hear the voice of the Son of God? Jesus only refers to himself by this title 3 times in John's gospel. Hebrews 3 verses 7 and 8 says, Today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. So there's something about rebellion that causes us not to hear the voice of God. So if you hear God speaking to your heart, the scripture says, do not harden it, because each time God speaks, either through a sermon like this, either through the words of a Christian friend, either through turning a dial on the radio and you come across a message. Whenever God speaks, it says, do not harden your heart. Why? Because each time God speaks and we harden our heart, or we don't respond in obedience, that voice of the Lord gets more and more quiet until we don't have ears to hear the voice of God speaking to us in that area of our lives. So has God been speaking to you lately about something you are doing or have allowed back into your life? And I believe that God is showing you whatever it is right now. He's showing you what it is. Let me encourage you to respond in obedience, because when you harden your heart to his voice, which means you have stiffened your neck and say, I'm not going to do that, God begins to allow the consequences of our sin to occur in our lives little by little until we repent. But if we refuse to repent, then the full consequences of our sin occurs and there is death. Depending upon who you are, there's the death of a marriage or the death of a career or the death of a ministry. Death and destruction always follows when we harden our hearts to the voice of God. So once again, are you hearing the voice of the Son of God? If you're hearing it and you respond with obedience, then this verse says those who hear will live, meaning that there will be a vitality, a joy, a peace that will flow from a life of obedience. But if you're not experiencing these things in your life, it could be because you've hardened your heart towards the voice of God speaking to you in some area. And I believe God is showing you what that is right now. And you've just hardened your heart to it. You haven't hardened your heart to God all the way, but in that area you have. And I've seen many times people harden their hearts when they hear messages dealing with tithing, when they hear messages dealing with you should be in church regularly. Certain areas that people have hardened their hearts, when it says husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, or wives, submit to your husband. And it's just certain areas, all of a sudden, we began to just kind of stiffen our necks to and harden our hearts. And then, after a period of time of doing that, then what happens is this. You don't hear God speak to you in that area quite anymore. You can sit there and you hear that subject come up and you just kind of fold your arms because you've hardened your heart to the voice of God in that area for so long. And you can go on with your Christian life, but in that area, you don't hear God speaking to you any longer because you've hardened it. And then what happens is the consequences. You don't give God first. God's not first. You don't tithe. Then the consequences of the ends not meeting will begin to take place. Not loving your wife as Christ loved the church, then the disaster that takes place from there. Not submitting to your husband, then the consequences begin to occur in that area. So whatever it is, little by little, when God speaks to us in a certain area and we harden our heart to that certain area, then all of a sudden God will little by little allow the consequences of disobedience to occur until we repent. And if we refuse to repent, then there will be death and destruction. You've seen it many times in people's lives. You've seen it in folks' lives, whether it is a marriage dies, a career dies, a ministry dies. You've seen it. Disaster occur. And whenever you see death and devastation come in a certain area of somebody's life, you better believe that the voice of the Son of God was speaking to that person in that area long ago. And God was giving them a chance to turn, to repent. And he was sending people and sending folks and hearing messages and turning all of a sudden on the radio and hear another message and hear the same thing. And God was giving folks time and chance and time. So when the devastation begins to happen, understand God had been speaking long ago. And so once again, are you hearing the voice of the Son of God speaking to you? If you're hearing it, then you better respond in obedience, or the consequences will begin to take place. And then when devastation occurs, don't get mad at God. Don't get in your feelings and get mad at God. God, why you allow this to happen to me? See, God tried to keep it from happening. That's why he began to speak long ago to a person in a certain area. Look at verses 26 and 27. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Now, we already saw in verse 22 how Jesus said that the Father judges no one but has committed all judgment to the Son. Now, in verse 27, Jesus is telling us why he has the right to judge mankind. Why? Because the end of this verse tells us, because he is the Son of Man. Now, the Son of Man is a favorite title Jesus uses of himself. It speaks of his humanity, while the title Son of God speaks of his deity. So Jesus is fully God and fully man. When Jesus put on human flesh, Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest that cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but in every point tempted as we, yet without sin." In other words, when Jesus walked this earth, he went through all the temptations and trials and things we go through, yet without sin. He submitted to the Father in obedience, as we must submit ourselves to God the Father in obedience. Jesus humbled himself as a man and learned things like we do. Hebrews 5:8 says, though he was the Son, yet he learned obedience. How? By the things which he suffered. So there is a classroom of suffering that has a way of teaching us some of life's valuable lessons. What blows me away is how Jesus, being fully God, submitted himself to learning things like we do. As God, he knows all things, but as man, he submitted to learning things like we do. This is why it says in Luke 2:52, it's not on the screen for you note takers, it said that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with both God and man. Jesus submitted himself to learning things as humans do. Oh, David understood this concept of learning things in the classroom of suffering, when he said in Psalm 119, verse 67, this is the verse you won't hear quoted on TV from many of them that's on TV. "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word." David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I'm keeping your word. So God will use affliction if we keep going astray in our walks with the Lord. But the purpose is so we can keep his word. See, God loves us so much, and he wants to bless us abundantly, above all we can ask or even think or imagine. But we have a tendency of keep going astray. Like Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way." So when we keep going astray, then God will lovingly afflict us so we can keep his word. Or we learn obedience by the things we suffer. And so Jesus has the authority to judge mankind because he put on human flesh and subjected himself to the things we go through, yet without sin. Look what he says there in verse 28. "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice." Now, the phrase "do not marvel at this" means Jesus is about to say something that will blow the minds of the Jewish people listening to him in this day. So do not marvel at what? "The hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice." I'm sure, I just know, they were like, okay, wait a minute. You already said in verse 24, "He who hears your word and believes in you has everlasting life." Then in verse 25, Jesus said, "Those who hear the voice of the Son of God will live." Now you're saying those in the graves will hear your voice. I know they are like, who in the world do you think you are? God? And Jesus, in essence, is saying, well, that's exactly what I've been trying to tell you all the time. That I am equal with the Father, like Son. So what happens when those in the graves hear the voice of Jesus? Look at verse 29. And they will come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Now this verse says those who hear the voice of Jesus will come forth. Now, this was blowing the minds of the Jewish people hearing these things, and Jesus knew it. This is why he started off verse 28 by saying, do not marvel at this, because he knew what he was about to say would blow their minds. In this verse, Jesus describes two separate, distinct resurrections. For you note takers, Roman numeral number one, the resurrection of life, and Roman numeral number two, the resurrection of condemnation. Now, even though Jesus mentions these two resurrections in the same sentence, doesn't mean they occur at the same time. They are two separate events separated by 1,000 years in between them. The Bible teaches that the dead are raised in a specific sequence. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 22 to 24 says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But watch this. But each in his own order. The Greek adjective for order is tagma, and it means order or turn, each in his own turn. Now he gives the order. Christ the first fruits. Afterwards, those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. So these verses tell us what takes place in the resurrection of the righteous. Now remember Roman numeral number one, the resurrection of life or the resurrection of the righteous. That resurrection is in three separate stages. Note takers, A, Christ, the first fruits, he's the first one resurrected, never to die again. B, those at Christ's coming, meaning when Jesus Christ returns in an event called the rapture of the church, that 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18 refers to, when the bodies, I'm emphasizing that for a reason, the bodies of the believers that have died are resurrected and changed to be reunited with the souls that are already in heaven. See, when a believer dies, a person that is in Christ, when they die, their soul goes to immediately be with the Lord. Their bodies go to the ground. See, many people are, and it's because folks are not being taught in churches today. And the people think that when a person dies, that they just go and they're in the ground, and all of a sudden the resurrection occurred. It's like, oh, okay, all right, I'm alive now. I'm alive once again. No. When a believer dies, his soul goes to immediately be with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Absent from the body is referring to physical death. It's to be present with the Lord. The body goes to the ground. So in the rapture of the church, we will come down. They said the dead in Christ shall rise first, talking about the bodies. They will be resurrected, changed to meet up with our souls once again. So whenever it talks about the dead in Christ or those who die in Christ or die in the Lord, it is speaking of the body alone, not the immaterial part of man. So what we have is the resurrection of life, or the resurrection of the righteous, is in three stages. Christ being the first fruits. B, then those who are at Christ's coming, the rapture of the church, and be reunited once again with our bodies. The Bible talks about that. And then you have C, the resurrection of Old Testament believers. People want to know, well, what happened to the Old Testament folks? Okay, that's the third phase of the resurrection of life. This takes place right after the 7-year tribulation period and right before the millennium. Watch this. When the rapture occurs, the Lord comes back in the air. We come back, our souls come back. We reunite it with our bodies. Remember, the church is called the bride of Christ. We go to heaven to have a 7-year honeymoon with the Lord. While the earth is going through the 7-year tribulation period that the book of Revelation talks about, all those horrible things that's going to take place in chapters 6 through 19, all of that's going to be unleashed during that 7-year period of time. Then the Lord is going to come back physically to the earth, and we're coming back with him physically to the earth. He's going to reign and rule from Jerusalem for 1,000 years, and we're going to help rule with him that we dealt with Wednesday night when we were in the book of Leviticus last week. He's going to rule for 1,000 years upon the earth. We're going to rule with him. That is called the millennial kingdom. Milli is Latin for 1,000. That 1,000-year period of time that Jesus rules and reigns from Jerusalem upon the earth, we help rule with him as well. So that is the resurrection of life. 3 stages, A, Christ being the first fruit when he resurrected, then B, those at Christ's coming when he comes back in the rapture, then C, the Old Testament believers, all that constitutes the resurrection of life. Then you have Roman numeral number 2, the resurrection of condemnation, which takes place at the end of the millennial kingdom, at the end of that 1,000-year period of time, right at the end. This event is described for us in Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 through 6, and is called the Great White Throne Judgment, which is the judgment of all unbelievers. All unbelievers in the history of time, they will know why. They will be eternally condemned in hell forever. They will know why. They can even say, you know, man, God's just not fair, man. Man, I tell you. Well, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, in chapter 20, the books will be open, and everything a person has ever said or done or thought or whatever. We used to have an old saying long time ago that God is looking and he's booking, taking careful notes. And so that is going to take place at the Great White Throne Judgment, the judgment of all unbelievers. The real question is, which judgment are you going to be a part of? The resurrection of life, which is for believers, or the resurrection of condemnation? There are many people who think because they make an occasional visit to a church that they are a believer. Or many people believe because they believe that there is a big guy up in the sky, that they are a believer, and they think that that's all it takes. And, you know, all because you believe that there is a God doesn't make you a believer. It just shows that you're not a fool. The Bible said the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So all because you believe, it just shows you're not a fool. A believer in Jesus Christ, that there's something about a believer. It's something he does, how he lives, he or she lives. Jesus said, if you desire to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. To take up your cross, they understood that terminology in their time. We hear, take up your cross. Oh, okay, I go down to Jared and give me a cross, and I put up around my neck because Pastor Tony said, you know, I need to take up my cross. No. Well, that's what we take it to mean today. To take up your cross in that day means to die to self. It was a way of execution. Wearing a cross around our necks today is equivalent to them, you know, or wearing a cross in their time is equivalent to us wearing the electric chair around our neck. It was a form of capital punishment at that time. To take up their cross, when Jesus said that, it meant to die to self and follow me. Now, how many people are really dying to self today? Today they're living for self. And people think that they are a believer when they're not. So the question is, What resurrection will you be a part of? The resurrection of life or condemnation? Jesus came and died on the cross for you and for your sin, so you can be a part of the resurrection of life. But if you reject this free gift of salvation and you go to your grave rejecting Jesus, you will be condemned and be a part of the resurrection of condemnation. Something to think about. Just like I mentioned how a believer, when a believer dies, his soul immediately goes to be with the Lord and his body goes to the ground. The same thing is true with an unbeliever. When he dies, when a person is an unbeliever, their soul immediately goes to be in hell and their body goes to the ground. And then at the great white throne judgment, you know, just like when the rapture of the church, when we're going to be reunited with our body's going to be changed, reunited with our bodies. Their body's going to be resurrected too and changed. Watch this. The Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven, meaning that these bodies we have now cannot dwell in heaven because these bodies are made of flesh and blood. They're made of dirt. The dirt of the ground is what these bodies were made of. These bodies were so we can dwell here on the earth. We need a different body to dwell in heaven. That's why our bodies got to be changed. Watch this. The unbeliever, their body's going to be changed too. But watch this. So they can endure the eternity of hell itself. It's an amazing thing. Amazing, amazing thing. And that will take place at the great white throne judgment. Look at verse 30. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Jesus once again is describing the oneness between he and his Father. He said, I can of myself do nothing. So as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. In other words, Jesus is saying, I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father. Whose will are you seeking to fulfill today? Your will or the will of the Father? Or does your will line up with the will of the Father where you can say, like Jesus did in this verse, I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. And some of you are thinking, well, how can I be sure what God's will is for my life? If there's one question I'm asked as a pastor more than any, how can I discern God's will? How can I know God's will for my life? Well, God's will is contained in his word. The will of God is contained in the word of God, the Bible. So the question is, are we living according to the will of God or are we living according to our own will? Let me tell you something. If you're not in the Bible on a daily basis, you're living according to your will. I'm going to tell you that now. Because God's will is contained in his word. If you're not in his word, then you're not doing his will. You can't say you're doing his will. I'm doing the will of God. Do you read your Bible? No, I don't know. No, not like I should. Then you don't know the will of God, and that means you're doing your will, whatever it is you think you ought to do. And because you make a guest appearance at church every now and then, you're thinking everything is good between you and the big guy upstairs. It's not. I'm just here to tell you, it's not. Stop deceiving yourself. It's not. It's more to being a believer than making a guest appearance at church. It's more to, don't you think it's more to it than that? It has to be more to it than that. He's given us this entire book, 31,173 verses, 1,189 chapters, given it to us to direct our lives. Someone has put it this way. Bible is an acronym, basic instruction before leaving earth. And I agree with them. I agree with them. So if you're not in the Bible, if you're not in the word, the only time you open it up is when you come to church. You're living according to your will and not the will of the Father. And there has to be a commitment to Jesus Christ and a commitment to the word of God in order for you to know the will of God for your life. It's amazing. I always marvel at how people will come to church, you know, without a Bible. Now, I know today we got, our phone can do everything, but yeah, I mean, you can do everything, really. Yeah. I mean, you can do everything. So we got all that kind of stuff like that. I understand that. But I always marvel, and I said, you know what? Would you go to your science class without a science book? Would you go to your math class without a math book? How would you come to church without your Bible? Whether it's on your phone, iPad, iTouch, on your eyes, whatever. I don't get it. Thank God we go verse by verse and you understand where we're going. Thank the Lord for that. But the will of God, I'm telling you, my day is empty. My day is horrible if I don't spend time in the Word of God. That's just me. I'm like, oh my goodness, I backslid because I didn't get in the Word. I mean, if I don't get in the Word, if I look at the end of the day that my day was so busy that I didn't have time for the, which really rarely or don't happen. But if I get to the end of the day, I'm like, oh man, my day was horrible. That's just me. But if you want to know what God's will is for your life, it's contained in the Word of God. And if you're not in the Bible, you're not in the Word of God, you're doing your own will and not the will of the Father who sent Jesus. Now, let me conclude with this. Let me wrap it up with this. In this study, we saw how Jesus said the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. Did you hear the voice of God speaking to you today? If so, don't harden your hearts. Have you heard the voice of God speaking to you about a certain thing or in this message? Then it's time for you to respond in obedience with what you heard. When you do, you will live like verse 25 says. Live for eternity with Jesus Christ. We also saw that there are two resurrections in verse 29, Roman numeral 1, the resurrection of life, and Roman numeral number 2, the resurrection of condemnation. And which resurrection are you going to be a part of? Jesus wants you to be a part of the resurrection of life, everlasting life that he gives when you repent of your sin and surrender your life to him. Finally, we saw in verse 30, Jesus says, I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. So we have a decision to make whether we're going to continue to seek to do our own will or the will of the Father. And God's will is contained in the Word of God. And you have a choice to make today. And this is why the Bible says today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Why? Because the next time his voice may not be so loud. Respond to his voice today so you can live eternally with Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. We pray, God, that you would draw people unto you. I pray that they will have ears to hear your voice speaking to them. Lord, may they not harden their hearts. May no one harden their hearts to what was heard today. Lord, I pray that they'll respond to your spirit speaking to them. Lord, I pray that they'll respond. Draw people unto you, Lord. I pray for those who've never really surrendered their life to Jesus Christ. May today be the day of salvation for them. Lord, may they hear the voice of salvation speaking to them. And Lord, for those who are believers but are not in your word, Lord, I pray that they will repent of this as well. Repent of doing their own will instead of the will of the Father. Lord, draw your people to you today in Jesus' name. Amen.